You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends. Time to meet my friends.
Angela.
Shannon.
Jim.
Moosh.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends.
Welcome again to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast, the podcast that discusses the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That's all it's called. No article in front of it. It's a CW show. If you've been listening along, you know it's a story about a girl who, or a woman, she's 26, she's a woman, she can make her own decisions about her life.
At least we all think we, so.
She keeps saying it, she's an adult. She's moved.
I'm a grown up.
There's no better way to prove you're an adult than to keep saying it. But yeah, her name is Rebecca Bunch. She moved to West Covina, California from New York to quit being a high-powered lawyer. Is still a lawyer, still has a lot of influence and savvy in her field, but she's working in suburban West. I wanted to say West California. Yeah,
West,
that's
Covina.
Right. Suburban LA. There we go. As a lawyer, under the guise that she's there just to be happy, relax, be by the ocean. But instead, it's really for this big elaborate plan where her ex-boyfriend, Josh, lives there. And she is trying to get involved in his life. And at this point, she kind of has gotten involved a little bit with the help of her coworkers and friends. And she got real close to, like, being his best friend and, like, hanging out with him and, like, not admitting her feelings. And then she did a little bit. And then she screwed it all up last episodes. So we are now reviewing the episodes, what is it, 12 and 13. 12 is Josh and I are working on a case. And 13 is Josh and I go to Los Angeles. Any thoughts on these? Any thoughts on these right off the bat?
So, well, I have to wait to bring it up, but I just want to say I did some Paula on Trent's Facebook page.
Ooh,
there's I was curious. Oh, I was curious about that.
Oh, I paused that screen and I looked it up and I wrote the stuff down. Don't you worry.
I cannot wait. Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff in these episodes. I love them because they go into professional Rebecca a lot.
Yeah.
Which we don't see too often
but
in the beginning.
But she's such a badass. Like, when it comes to professional, she's a rock star.
She didn't go to Harvard and become like the youngest person offered partner in this huge New York law firm for nothing.
That's true.
So.
Oh, and I love that they have the Apollo 13 thing throughout the entire episode.
Yes. Yeah. So let's recap that first episode. Episode 12, Josh and I are working on the case. They start off pretty quickly with an Apollo 13. Paula wants to be like control room Paula. This is your plan to get back with Josh and how things are going to be great again.
And is in love with the Ed Harris with the glasses. You remember?
Is it bad that I don't remember Apollo 13 that well?
I remember other Ed Harris movies much better than Apollo 13.
Yeah,
it's like, an older movie.
It is.
It's fair that you don't remember it that well.
But I think, and I'm Googling it right now, but I think Ed Harris, wasn't he in Milk Money?
Yes.
He was great in Milk Money.
Melanie Griffith.
Beautiful movie. Oh, let's make that what they make their episode about.
Actually, I know what I wanted to do in that intro. I wanted to introduce Jim, who's joining us for the first time.
Hello.
And I wanted to ask you, Jim, to tell us a little bit of your background about the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, how you got into it, how you started watching it, why you enjoy it, maybe just your connection to the show in general.
Sure. I think I started watching it first with my girlfriend, Angela. She was like, you've got to see this. You got to. And so we pop on an episode and I think like I was aware that it was popular in the CW and that it had a following. And I think it won a couple Emmys or something like that. And mm-hmm. I knew that much about it, but I hadn't seen any of it. And so we started watching it and just the comedy of it appealed to me right away and the social relevance of it. And just how it's a great, I think, commentary on overall, like, just kind of the state of people's lives in the world right now. It seemed very relevant to at least like millennial generations and mm-hmm. how difficult it is to figure out your place and your footing, dealing with, you know, emotional as well as professional issues, and all of that just really appeals to me overall throughout mm-hmm. the show, and the writing of it and how I mean there's a lot to it. The characters all have three-dimensional aspects to them. They're not mm-hmm. They may have some stereotypical traits, but then they go far beyond that with all of them to.
Yeah, the minute you think it's just a character that they're going to one-off or throw away, you suddenly get an entire plot line around them, which is awesome.
Yep.
And I like, too, that you mentioned, like, you have the the perspective that it's more about just emotional life overall.
Yeah.
Because I feel it's easy to see, like, oh, this is a romantic comedy and this is about dating. Like, you're right. It has a lot to do with her professional career and finding herself in that. And that's the underlying theme that, like, they don't spell out every episode, but is actually the driving force behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really cool to bring up. I don't know if we ever have in this room, so that's cool. I like that. So, yeah, that's Jim, everyone.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. Hello.
So, yeah. Got to remember to do that with a new voice. You're just like, huh, who's this random guy? I don't know. He's got some good points, but...
Amy has a cold.
Yeah. Amy suddenly sounds very different.
Oh, guys, by the way, I put myself first in a sexy way today. You know, I actually did not get all my heels taken away. Mm-hmm. I did have a few.
Yay.
But I was like, oh, we talked about it last episode. I'm going to make this joke that no one can see because they're not in the studio, but it's going to be funny to me, huh? So...
You're dressed up nice. And it feels sexist and wrong to be like, when you walked in, I was like, she's probably doing something later today. That's really fun.
No, I actually, when I was getting ready this morning, I'm like, I'm putting a lot of effort into a joke no one's going to get to see.
Maybe we can take a picture and post it on Twitter
there
if you'd like.
There we go. That'd be great.
I also brushed my hair for everybody.
Yeah, you did.
Another joke no one else could see. Darn. Awesome. So we open up Apollo 13. Basically, the last episode, Rebecca had staged a break-in, and she cannot, like, Josh was like, I can't deal with you. This is insane. I don't know what your deal is. I don't know what's going on in your head or what you think's going on here, but I need some space. So she's given him some space for the time span they give is a couple weeks or a few weeks. So I'm thinking like 3 weeks in my head. But the timing of these two episodes is kind of screwed up because a lot of stuff happens. It's very sitcom-y in that way. But Paula's big plan to get them involved is, like, she's been like stewing over it, waiting for like the go time. Like, this is, I need to get involved. And her big plan is to like come up with a fake coupon for a like Tex-Mex or, I don't know, Mexican fusion.
What is it,
Jalapeno Jacks. Is the name.
Calamex Italian.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Calamex Italian.
And she does this after that very ominous statement of, he will ask you out before tomorrow. La, la, la.
Yeah, it's really set up in the best way, the best sitcom way. It's like, okay, this is the plan, and he's going to do it. He's going to ask you out. And so they meet at a car inspection place, and... I don't know. It's just Josh and Rebecca, and they kind of have a little weird moment. She's like, oh, darn, I got this coupon. It's going to go to waste. It expires tomorrow. Tomorrow just happens to be when Josh's girlfriend, Valencia, is teaching yoga twice.
Oh, no.
So she can't go.
What will you do with the coupon?
And actually, one of the important other details that Rebecca just happens to let go at this, you know, casual encounter that was totally set up by Paula is that she's got this new boyfriend named Trent.
Trent.
And that is important. So she seems emotionally unavailable again.
Mm-hmm.
And the allure is back to Josh. And
but, you know, there were some warning signs with Trent Maddock on that one Facebook. I'm just saying.
Yes.
So,
Yeah, they find a guy who lives in L.A. that went to Harvard with Rebecca the same time she did. That's their only criteria for her fake boyfriend.
And they found him.
And they found him. So let's go into who this Trent guy is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So here's some of the problems with Trent. Instant warning, all of his pictures are only pictures of him. They're either from the front or the same side profile, different like environments. So that's warning sign number one, okay? This will help you in your daily life, people. When you start to Facebook stalk someone that you may date, look for these signs. Number two, he had at least three, because it's all we saw on the screen, but at least three posts that were all posted just 2 hours ago. There were no likes. There were no comments. Nobody likes this guy. He doesn't have his friends. I don't even know if he has any or if he has them on private. So, I mean, like, there's that. And then his posts say things like, went out last night, had a great time, wish all my friends were there.
so sad.
And then you want to hear about what a cool guy this guy is to talk to. It's this hard day at work. People bring in the weirdest problems. We had this guy bring in a laptop with the weirdest virus. And that's all he says. You have no conversation skills, Trent.
Nope.
And then he says that he owns a computer company later on, but here it just says computer technician. I think this man is sitting on a throne of lies. And
I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt and be like, he's also super successful and a nice counterpart.
I think that man crawled up onto a throne of lies, and he's sitting there all pretty, and he's waiting for someone to get him a drink.
Is he also working at Aloha Tech?
It does not say Aloha Tech. It just said computer technician in Los Angeles. But here's another thing that actually confused me a little bit. This man's a Taurus, and Tauruses are zodiacs. Tauruses are usually supposed to be pretty down to earth dudes. Mm-hmm. So I like to think he's even lying about his birthday.
I mean,
I'm just putting that out there.
I think he's pretty down to earth and honest in his feelings for Rebecca.
You know, he is. That's a very good point. He's very honest. He's like, yeah, I'm blackmailing you. La la la.
Yeah,
we're
getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He does blackmail.
I didn't mean to take that away. It was just, yeah, okay.
That's all I have.
He's inappropriately honest, like somebody else on the show.
So there's your warning signs, people. Look out for those when you're stalking Facebook people.
I love it. So they go on. So basically, she drops these details so she can go to Jalapeno Jack's with Josh. They start off on this like really cute date almost, where they're talking about Trent or whatever, I don't know, because it's immediately interrupted by Hector, Josh's friend, the one who overslept for the beach. He comes rolling in, and he's like, hey, Josh, what's up? Like, real casual, like, I just happened to be here. And then he rolls in with an entourage, which includes White Josh, who we've met before, some other dude, I forgot his name.
Beans and Ken!
Ken! Yeah. Ken we've never met before, and Beans we've only heard of before. So they all come and they join the group hang, and we get this wonderful Shakira-style song.
La, 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 la.
All about a group hang and how awkward it is. And I think we might want to wrap it back around to the song, because there's a lot to undo with that.
Ah, it's a great song.
But basically, it goes quickly into all these dudes have talked to Josh. They know that she's got this coupon, which is an insane coupon. It is free drinks and appetizers on Thursday.
Yes.
Expires Thursday. Whichever Thursday. Just
we don't
Thursday.
Know.
So, and they're all dumb enough to just like take advantage of it and rack up a $949 check.
It doesn't say there's not a limit on people, is there? No. The person who made this coupon did not think of that.
Did not think of that. And this is the one I paused on. I was like, how much is that actual food? There's actually like gratuity tacked on.
Yeah.
150 gratuity. Sales tax is like 6.8% or 8.5% in California.
I forgot. Oh, at the bottom of the receipt, there are three sides. It's sides of Verde cheesecake.
Yes!
At the bottom of the receipt.
The salsa Verde cheesecake.
What would that taste like? Or they had a guac pizza. That looks really interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that would be. The bill was $759.59, 8.7% tax for $66.46, gratuity of $150.01.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Craziness.
You're the master of the screenshot.
There's so much information
it's,
in it.
You know, everyone has to have their gimmick. And mine is I'll give you the small screen things.
And then for that achievement, the saddest photo ever.
Yes.
Taken and placed on the wall. The wall of fame.
Yes.
Where everyone else looks like the same person, but they're not, but they look like the same person.
Like they all belong in Jalapeno Jacks. Yeah. And then she's just this girl.
Fruit eyebrows.
Yeah, I think she is overhearing Josh like tell his friends, like, thanks for covering me. I was still feeling weird about the other night.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was the time during the song when she's like, hey, you want to go get a drink at the bar? And
Josh grabs Josh and directs him back into a conga line to get them dancing around the table instead
Spanish,
of letting
Spanish,
him go
Spanish,
off.
Spanish, Spanish,
Spanish. Spanish,
yeah, but I mean, like, those are good friends if that's what you tell them at the beginning of the day. Like, look, mm-hmm. I need your help with this. I know I can't do it by myself.
Yeah.
So good for them in that sense.
Yeah, they're all very loyal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're always loyal friends, too. They're great.
Freeloaders are the most loyal people.
They have to be. How else would they get any free stuff?
That's right. That's right. And I like their excuses when the bill comes and, like, I forget who it was.
Was perfect.
Like, White Josh was like, Hector's paying for me because he uses my Netflix account.
I only had one mushroom cap. Yeah.
Also very relatable.
Oh, sad truth.
I left my wallet at home.
Oh, no. Again. I don't even know where it's at.
It's just gone. They're great. So they get out of that situation and they... as a show, have to recap with Paula. I'm like, okay, your plan didn't work. Or actually, in her head, it worked. They're all celebrating Apollo 13 style throwback.
Oh, and that office is full of so much visual stuff.
The control room.
Yes, it's a control room.
It has become a control room.
Mm. It's got Josh's itinerary on the whiteboard. And there's some equations on some other whiteboards. I hope I'm not spoiling too much. GPS, what looks like GPS mm-hmm. tracking on the computers on the computer screen or the television screen or
so
whatever
good.
It is.
Basically is like so a forensic lab.
Yeah. They deserve those white shirt button downs.
Paula is vastly under stimulated. And
she's underemployed for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Underemployed
like this woman.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I don't love it, but like one of the worst YouTube comments you always read is like, you got a lot of free time on your hands to do this, and like, that's really insulting, but in Paula's case, she's got a lot of free time.
I don't know if she's...
at her job.
At her job.
At her job, because like you're saying, she's underemployed, so...
Yeah. I feel like she just doesn't have the stimulation necessary for her to not go on these other sort of paths. Mm-hmm. She really needs to get another degree and really apply herself to some dreams. Maybe she should learn how to, you know, start your own business for dummies. I think that would be really great for her.
I love things
from those books.
She needs to run a detective agency.
Yes! Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. She'd be so much better than any other TV detective there ever was.
Yes.
She'd be a detective agency that sets up the case and then gets herself hired to solve the case that she just caused.
Yes! Oh, Paula, the not-so-private investigator.
Oh, it's so good. And then we get, like, my favorite song of the episode, which is about romantic moments. And I guess she does spoil it to Paula that it didn't go well, that there was a group hang, like, after the celebration. And she's like, I just want to get back where things were. And then we get this beautiful song that is... just like my favorite, I think my favorite songs with this are just one offs.
Yeah.
More so than like the full on songs we get. So we have a clip whenever. Cool. Yeah, let's listen to that romantic moments song.
I just want to spend time with him. Oh, I want so badly to go back to the way things were.
Romantic moments you had that you didn't know were romantic.
Most likely not.
Doesn't it almost feel like just a small bit like a butter advertisement?
Ooh, it does. Yes, to throw that back in there with her.
Oh.
I think that was like the first time I've seen in the show too where Rebecca's kind of admitted that like maybe he does think they're romantic.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, like it's pretty obvious, like in her head she's like bulldozing this and only picking what she wants and like... as much as she's like picking like Josh is in love with me, she's also very much in denial, and that's why she still hasn't admitted to most people that she's there for him or she loves him or this is what she's going for. But
yeah, at this point, it's only Paula, right?
Yeah, it's only Paula that knows.
And that's because she forced it out of her.
Yeah.
And like she's barely that honest with herself. And then this song is just kind of like, well, she does in her head kind of know there's some doubt there.
Yeah.
Which is one on me because I still don't 100% believe Josh is like leading her on or anything at this point in the series.
I go back and forth. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it seems like at certain points he kind of has a little bit of a dubious intent. Like he'll kind of give himself off as though he's like a little bit of a player. Like I can tell this woman is interested in me, so I'm gonna, you know, play on it a little bit. But he never goes too far with. Like I remember maybe I think the second episode when Rebecca first came across Valencia. Mm-hmm. Before Rebecca left that party store or liquor store or convenience store, mm-hmm. I know they don't call them party stores out there. Josh kind of like grabbed her chin and like, hey, like, you know,
he gave
her a nice little like, and like that right there, it felt like he's got a little bit of a, hey, this one's interested in me. I might kind mm-hmm. of keep it out there as a potential, you know, mm-hmm. what his intent would even be at that point.
He likes to keep alternates for his team.
Sure, I guess. Yeah. I mean, he, you know, he
just curves the attention, maybe.
Yeah. Valencia doesn't seem like she's the most attentive, you know, like she's there and she has the hot body and
she's career oriented too, and they're not necessarily the most compatible. Like they've mm-hmm. they've got a, you know, a relationship there that they formed when they were really young.
There's
probably some things that are lacking to some extent in their relationship that makes him open to other possibilities, whatever.
Yeah, and it's I don't know if it's this episode or the next one, but at some point Josh does reveal he knows most of the women in town are into him.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, he knows.
Yeah.
Why am I so dumb? Like, I just don't see
you,
that.
You like I'm to like, look for the best in him, and I think that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, honey.
He's a big-hearted guy, too, and he's, you know.
Yeah, he likes children and volunteering.
He does.
It's like hating a child if you don't like right. that.
I really want there to be an episode where he's just like, guys, can't I just have you both?
Yes.
And just say it just like that, because that seems like Josh.
He would be really good in an open relationship.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just keep great communication. We can work out a schedule.
He'd be so good at it. Maybe not the scheduling part. I feel like he might slip through the cracks on that.
He'd have Rebecca do the schedule. Just like he'd be the type of guy that would have, you know, Rebecca bring the food to an event that mm-hmm. the two of them go to. He's that guy.
He'll just show up along for the ride.
I'm just cute.
As long
I'm
as he knows
here
which
for the eye candy.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then we get away from that situation for a minute for what I'm like in my head is the best of or the A plot. This is the Daryl A plot. It's not the A plot.
It should be. It's a great
it really
plot.
Should be. This is my favorite relationship of the show. So Daryl goes. A couple episodes ago, he had a party with all of Josh's friends because he was feeling lonely. And as he was cleaning up the party, White Josh is hanging out with him, helping him clean up. Before he leaves, he kisses him on the cheek, and you get like little butterflies. And then, like at some point, he's like talking to Paula, and like you can kind of get this vibe, like, oh, he might be into this guy named Josh. And then they like let it all out in this episode, where like he is going to get personal training from Josh. I'm gonna have to say White Josh because again, it's audio, so you have to say you have to say White Josh. It's so funny. no one else will know which Josh we're talking about. He's getting personal training. He's like doing the classic crush thing you do, which is like come up with excuses to see the person you like, which is what Rebecca's been doing this entire show. But he does it in a very healthy way. He goes to get personal. Well, I don't know if it's that healthy, but he goes to get personal training with White Josh.
It's a very typical type way.
It's fairly legit.
He's not stalking anyone.
Yeah. And he went to the gym before. He just changed his trainer.
Yeah, I don't know if he did, though.
Yeah, he did.
I guess he did. That's right. I feel,
because he man-crushed him across the gym, and he was all like, yeah, you're like my Fitspiration.
That's right. I had it in my head for some reason that they just, like, went to the same shopping center, and he would see him training through. I've gone way off the deep end there. That is not true. That did not happen. But yeah, so in this, there's actually another clip for this one. Ooh. This one is just about how much Josh is super confident and White Josh is. Real Josh, not so much. White Josh, super confident. Because at the end, Daryl even, I mean, this is also really cool and respectable. Daryl, he comes clean. He's just kind of like, I'm going to be direct with why I'm here in kind of an indirect way. He's like, what was the last time we saw each other? He's kind of weird about it. But then we get like just like a really honest reaction from both of them. So this is Josh and Daryl interacting at the end of the physical training episode thing.
Okay, so when was the last time we saw each other?
At your house, the fight?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the general event, but the specific event was...
When I kissed you on the cheek.
Yeah. That was funny. I mean, was that like a European thing, or was that something Hector put you up to?
No, dude, I'm gay. You're being cute, so...
You're gay? No one's ever mentioned that.
Well, everybody knows. Not a big deal.
Oh.
It's my favorite thing. Everybody knows it's not a big deal.
Yeah. It's so realistic how that would happen. Because if somebody, like, whatever's going on with people in your friend group, if you're, like, there for a long time and have established relationships, you don't mm-hmm. have to reiterate every conversation, White Josh is gay. It just nobody would think to mention it.
Well, and I really like that they had – oops, sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, but I like how they had the thing where Daryl's like, well, maybe they should call you gay Josh. And he's like, why? Do we call Greg white – straight Greg? Like,
yeah. Or we call you old gay Daryl? What? No, I'm not gay.
Yeah.
So at this point, yeah, Daryl's is just – he's exploring Josh's, like, intent in that kiss. Was that a romance? Was he coming on to me? And then he had to kind of, you know, he's
and there's so unsure. Much innocence behind that. Yeah. Innocence behind it from Daryl's point of view. Even from Josh's. He's very, like, straightforward. He's not like, oh my God, I'm, like, so into this guy. He's just like, yeah, you're cute.
And it's a perfect cool. demonstration of, like, the social ideal that should exist yeah. where, like, nobody should have to exclaim or wear their sexuality like on their chest, like people
yes!
just you know whatever you mm-hmm. are what you are and who cares. It shouldn't be where you have to announce one or the other
mm-hmm. To everyone you meet at all times.
Yeah, it shouldn't. Yeah,
it's also a great ideal too, and just like a romantic situation where no one had to like be like longing after the other person for 10 years. Yeah. They just happen to meet and they kind of like each other and they're going to see where this goes. And like, that's
yeah.
what most of the show is missing.
No, nobody's car got damaged. Yeah. There's no surveillance.
Oh, we have these beautiful, innocent segues, right? We have like a kiss on the cheek and we have I met you at the gym. And so, yeah, it's just like it's an adorable small progression, like what you would hope to see in real life.
Mm-hmm. And it is like none of that middle school stuff where it's like, does he like me? Doesn't he? Like, they straight out say, like, I think you're cute. Like, or Josh
says
that.
Let's call his house and we'll just let it ring 5 times and then we'll hang up.
Hey. I'm going to go drive by his house a few times.
Yeah. Let's find out his schedule.
Yeah.
I'll see exactly when he's at the gym and then I'll just, like, happen to take a shower when he's taking a shower. Like, none of that weirdness.
Make sure I manscape that day. It'll be great. Yeah.
Plan out which days you moisturize versus the days you don't. It's super perfect. And then because it like takes all of my energy to think about that, like the rest of it, the episode just kind of dives because it's like at some point during all of this like cute romantic stuff that we're setting up, they're also setting up that we need to spend more time with Josh, or Paula is setting up with Rebecca, we need to spend more time with Josh so we can get you back in the game. And they figure it out that the best way to do it is to make him a client of the law firm so they can spend a lot of time together. They use an offhand comment from Josh at the group hang, or when it was still a one-on-one hang, but they use an offhand comment about him not having hot water, which is a pretty normal thing to happen in an apartment building. And Rebecca is going to use that as her way to make him a client.
Yeah, it was a series of really smart connections, because when Rebecca arrived at that Jalapeno Jack, she saw a flyer on the wall that said something along the water truthers or something mm-hmm, with this guy named Bert. And she just looked at it like, oh, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Josh divulges he has no hot water. And then how are we going to get Josh? How are we going to get you and Josh to spend more time together? And they get a comment from one of their colleagues, one of the other lawyers at the firm, who mm-hmm. walks in and he's talking to somebody behind them. And he says, man, I just spent so much time with this client. I can't stand it. I had, and that's when they all.
And suddenly Bert's not so crazy anymore.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's Rebecca again. So yeah, they make him a client and she approaches Josh at his apartment building about this. Valencia is there again. She's like, no, this is weird. Josh is kind of like, think about it. We go into another scene where Josh is still thinking about it. He's discussing it with a child, with Chris, our favorite character.
Yes.
Chris reveals he's a digital addict and he's been texting Greg all this information.
He diagnosed himself online.
Yes, which is perfect. A perfect thing for a digital addict to do. He's been texting Greg. So now Greg knows. And now Greg is involved in this, you know, more, what do you call it? Bunch sanity.
Yeah.
He gets involved in bunch sanity. There's a couple other meetings between, like, let's go to Josh's house to try to convince him in Valencia. Okay, let's go back to the office. Let's go back to the apartment building. And then they go into this song about, or when they have discovered that, I guess they do have him as a client briefly. They have a couple meetings and then they get like a settlement offer for $1 million. And this should be like where it ends. But Rebecca's like, no, I can't.
We made great popcorn. It can't end yet.
Yeah. It can't end. So she discovers it's a, she makes the connection now back to Bert and the true thing about it being a county thing and the entire, if she can get the entire complex involved, she can get Josh back involved. And if she can get Josh back involved, she can spend more time with Josh. And it has nothing to do with, this underlying plot, which is the city of Los Angeles is stealing water from the suburbs to, you know, have warm water during a drought season.
Also, BJ Novak makes ecstasy.
Well, what did they say? The water's being used to make Oscars and something else?
Oscars and drugs, I
drugs,
think.
Drugs and Oscar. Yeah.
It was Oscar. Well, yeah.
I think it's
basically drugs and Oscars.
Yeah, you know.
I kept expecting him to say like water and porn or something. Yeah. They never quite went there, but they did go into the ecstasy factory.
It's just outside of Hollywood. That's like just north.
Yeah. Then that's still suburbs, so.
Although
Google Maps said no.
It's kind of moved around. I don't think it's as concentrated there anymore as it used to be.
No.
I don't know why I know so much about the structure of the porn industry.
This is fascinating. Yeah.
Because you have to always know your backup plan. Yeah. Everyone has to know. Yeah. If you want to go out there for any reason, writing, acting, anything,
there's
always the porn industry.
You've
got to know where it's at.
Yeah. If you need more information,
you're one half a step from accidentally ending up in a porn.
Yeah, that too. I got this great contract for you. Like, okay, let me see. Smell it out if it's porn or not.
So one thing I like about these two episodes is that both of them have like a play on a number from a musical, right? We have this one in The Music Man, the one here, and the next one there's one from Les Miserables. I'm like, yes, it was great.
I love it. I love
just it. Just put that out there.
Although I love it, but also I don't like either of those musicals.
Oh no!
I know.
Like either of those. Oh.
I mean, they're all right, but I don't like love them.
You know, at one
I
place
haven't
like,
seen them.
Oh. Well, Les Miserables, I've seen a bunch like in the theater. The Music Man I've just seen on television. But I had a friend who she was my supervisor at a place that I worked, and we got into this fun game where she'd be like, "Oh, you need help with something? You must give me something in return." So one time it was I had to do a bunch of burpees, and one time she said to me, I want you to sing me a song from The Music Man.
Ooh.
And I was like, can I have till tomorrow? I've only seen it once on TV.
So I need to prepare. And then I'll sing them all.
But then I did. I sang one. And then someone nearby was like, shh.
That's awesome.
Try to work here. Stop singing.
Say, as far as musicals go, the one I've seen most, more than anything, is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, I've never seen that.
That would be my top. What else do I like? Because I feel like we're well overdue for like a musical discussion here.
Yeah, like what about Mamma Mia? I think that one's great, and I love that it pulls in the music of ABBA.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's just very well done. I like the idea of them saying we have all these songs, and we're going to like make a theater production around them. We're going to make it happen. I think it's cool.
It is pretty cool. I wanted to see that too. So many times I've been in different cities, being like, "That's the one I'll go see," you know, while I'm out or as a tourist.
Oh, and Wicked. Have you seen Wicked?
I haven't seen Wicked.
Oh, what's going on?
I found our musical correspondent. Her name is Shannon.
Yeah. I periodically break into song. My life is a musical. I have to see these things.
That's good. That's there's a lot of joy in that.
There is a lot of joy in that. Yeah.
I think so, too. I just don't know them that well.
Supposedly, there's a musical about Coco Chanel and Katharine Hepburn. Katharine Hepburn, you know, was in one of the original versions of it. And Amazon Prime gives me music. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, another musical. I want this one. But it seems really cool. I haven't seen it, but it seems great. Putting that out there.
So good.
Homework.
What about you guys? No. Are you musical people?
Unfortunately, very tiny base of knowledge when it comes to musicals. My favorite musical right now is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yes,
and I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Did you have any trouble getting to enjoy the show because it is musical?
No. Okay. I'm not. I don't. Yeah, that doesn't put up a barrier for me. I like engaging in that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's a nice experience, I guess.
And what about you?
I don't have much of a background with musicals. I don't think I have a prejudice against them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm open to it, but I haven't watched a lot of them. I think my favorite one, and it's kind of, I guess, it's not that much of a musical, is Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. That is kind of a musical. I really like All That Jazz, which is... great. Not even the one you're thinking of.
Are you thinking Chicago?
No, I'm thinking the Bob Fosse movie.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, she's saying a song from a thing.
Nope, it's a musical kind of based off of a chorus line in Bob Fosse's life. And it's a really good movie. But
there's one called Chorus Line, also a good musical. I'm getting all geeked out right now. I gotta tone myself back.
No, I like it because I think it's interesting to have that side because... a lot of people expect it, like, with the show, because it is a musical, like, and Rachel Bloom is, you know, comes from a musical theater background. Like, this show must only be for musical geeks or whatever. And this is, like, 13, 12 episodes in.
One out of four.
This is the first time we get, like, a real show tune.
That's true. It is.
And it's a big number. And, like, all the... it's a... We haven't had a large-scale musical number since the pilot. This is, like, one with, I don't know, 20 extras or something. Mm-hmm. And the next one we get, like, probably at least 50 or 100 extras involved.
And there's the part that makes me most nervous in this music. This is the song, too, is, like, what is it? Like, Cold Water Leads to Crack? We never even mentioned that most funny part.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I love that whole progression. I'm going to make public service announcements for us next week. It'll be very important. I don't know.
So that was during the recruiting process when the Rebecca, Daryl, and Paula went to Josh's apartment complex to try to get Josh and Valencia on board with their case against the some greater water authority or something like that. For diverting their water out of the suburbs into the, you know, the main city, LA. And, as they're walking around trying to recruit people, they burst into a musical about how cold water leads to crack and cold water is drugs. And
Oh, and it's like the apocalypse in I Am Legend, only it's not.
Oh, yeah.
But
a great line.
It's so great. Like, let's see. I think I put the. So cold shower leads to a shock to the system, leads to wired in a way you never felt, leads to think that shower was great, leads to trying cocaine, and then having your son on crack, your daughter pregnant, and your husband having an affair. So this is why we have to get this water situation taken care of, people.
They hit every fear.
They did.
Of these families.
But then there's this one part that really geeked me out where they're talking about, you know, that's capital G that ends with P that starts with pool, and then she jumps into the pool.
And that's the part that makes me so nervous, because she's, like, in her full suit.
Yes!
And there's a big floaty.
But there's a reason that they do that. And it's because in the original Music Man song, they're talking about the other pool. So it's capital B that ends with P that starts with pool. And it's the pool sticks because they're talking about the billiards table. So that's a fun little geeky fact for musical people out there.
That's so perfect.
But continue on. I was just like, that's so great. I just love that.
What I needed from it. That's all I needed to hear. Because like in my head, it goes as far as like, oh my gosh, like this is like, it's a big ending. It's they're jumping in a pool, but like on a floaty. So
yeah,
she can still keep singing. But no, there was many layers to that direction. That is awesome.
His little nod.
The show's so good.
It is.
Constantly surprised by that. Mm. And I don't even like, I guess my notes kind of fall after that point. I've got, because I got a lot of stuff too about how like Greg and Valencia are almost teamed up for a moment to stop Rebecca. And like they'd be a really good team against Rebecca. Like, well, no, we kind of don't. Does he delete? Like, hang on. So does Greg leave before Trent comes in?
I don't think so.
No, Greg is there.
He's still there.
Yeah. So they team up and you're like, they're going to be a great duo. They're going to make big things happen to stop Rebecca. And they tried a few things. And one of the things that they do is they figure out who this Trent guy is, who, again, is this, you know, magical ex, or this current boyfriend of Rebecca from Harvard. And they bring him in to West Covina and he's hanging out in Josh's apartment. So the next time Rebecca has some crazy thing to tell him, which is in this case, she's met up with Bert, the water truther. She's figured out exactly what's going on with the water. And now that that's happened, she can go run off
in noisy fly fishing pants,
and her and Daryl both run off to like express feelings at this point. And it's also a really good scene because Bert, they both miss this beautiful comment about how he's going to go back into the sewer to eat rats.
It's like a Facebook page with three posts from 2 hours ago. Yeah. Someone tells you they're going to go eat some rats. That's a warning sign.
That state of his psychological state right there.
That's your big clue. And then they're just like, nope, we've got feelings to go express. And they like run off in fly fishing gear. Rebecca, you know, goes off, finds Josh, who of course is at his apartment with his live-in girlfriend Valencia and also his best friend Greg, and then also Trent, who's her you know boyfriend apparently, and they think they've caught her in this lie, and she makes out with him, and I think that's where they end.
That's where they end that one.
And doubling back around to the A plot in my book is Josh and Daryl, White Josh and Daryl. They go back, and this is when Daryl has kind of, throughout the episode, he's kind of figured this out. Like, he took, like, a cardio mamba class.
Yes!
He's like, I'm not going to personal train with you anymore. I'm mad at you for calling me big gay Daryl, but I'm going to take cardio mamba.
We leave our judgment and our shoes at the door.
Yeah.
Well, actually, inside cubbies, but, you know, at the door. And in the class is when he realizes, like, oh, I like girl butts and boy butts.
Yeah.
I must be a both sexual. And then he explores that in his head a little bit. I think there's some interviews from outside of the show where, like, I guess in between there, he kind of, like, dates other, like, men and women. Or, like, he goes on a date with both. This part, I guess, was cut.
No, it's in a future episode.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool. Oh. Like, it's in something. I've seen it soon. But, like, it kind of gets, No. And he explores the idea that, like, he likes men as well as women. And then he comes out to White Josh back at Josh's work and is like, hey, I like both and I'm cool. Let's get drinks, but not here. Let's go to, like, Los Angeles or some other town. And White Josh is like, nope. I'm good. I was in the closet till I was 12.
Oh, I think that's in the next episode.
Oh, is it? Am I like jumping in on that? I got so excited.
Yeah, that's the next one. Ah. But still, it's coming up.
Because actually, part of this, I mean, I'm glad we're pairing them together because it's almost a two-part episode.
Exactly.
Because the plot doesn't actually end here.
Yeah.
No, we pick up right where we left off.
Yeah. So let's jump into that Shannon's recap then.
Okay. So Trent and Rebecca are still smooching with tongue, as Trent likes to, and we find out. Greg decides that he wants to leave the Brainy Bunch episode and recommends that Josh and Valencia do the same. get that brainy bunch because she's smart. Okay. And then Daryl offers to take White Josh on a date as long as no one knows or can see them. And then the thing that Josh says after this I think is so beautifully said, where he said, I'm not going back in the closet, not for anyone. I didn't come out until I was 12, and those were some rough years. And I was like, that's just a beautiful way of saying it. Like, look, I'm really happy with who I am.
I love his confidence in himself so much. I will probably say that like a billion times because it's so cool.
Well, yeah, but the fact that he didn't come out till he was 12, it tells me that he had to really work up to building that confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And so now he has it, and he's like, I've really found out who I am. So
and as you might remember, when he was like, it was 7 or 8.
He was 6. He was overweight, and then he fixed it by 7.
Yes. So he's always been super motivated.
Yeah.
Figures out what his problem is and attacks it.
He works on it. I'm liking him better. He's a pretty cool guy in my book by now.
He's super cool.
He's no longer one-dimensional. Well done. And then
we told you.
Yes, you told me, and it didn't take long. Now I just want to hug him, not only because he's buff. And Rebecca goes home, and Trent's there. Which is kind of a peculiar thing because she just like met this guy on Facebook, right? So there's a little concern, and we actually have a clip to go along with that.
Yeah,
number 3.
Like didn't even meet him. Like didn't even talk. Like I guess added him.
Yeah, just added him on Facebook the week before or something like that.
Which bad move on Valencia for not like being able to see like recent activity and figuring out it's only been a 2-week ad.
Yeah.
I'm sure Paula was on top of that.
Paula's so on top of that. You're right. She like she found sure to hide that information. You can hide it, like nor delete that. So she deleted the notifications.
She taught herself code and went in on the back end and just like recoded all of Facebook.
Yes. It's totally true. She is totally not up to her potential right now. She should be getting paid millions.
So this is the clip where Trent, we find out Trent's still around.
You should lock your back patio. I'm worried about your security.
Oh my God. Are you gonna kill me?
No, why would I kill you? I love you.
What?
Rebecca Bunch, I have loved you since the moment that I saw you freshman year in the cafeteria. You were eating a mac and cheese sandwich. Remember?
Oh, man. But then it only gets worse because after that, then Rebecca says, hey, so I need you to leave because, I don't know you. We're not really dating. This
we
was
meet
fake.
Rebecca's Rebecca.
Yeah, and we do meet Rebecca's Rebecca because then when she tries to get him to leave, Trent's like, oh, well, I wouldn't want to have to go back and tell your friends that I don't know you. And she's like, you're blackmailing me? And he's like, yeah, I am. So instead he stays, he makes her dinner, he draws her a bath, he massages her feet. But don't worry, it's not weird because she wore a swimsuit. So
I love that line.
Episode 13 has so many great lines. Like, I just kept down writing down lines.
Some episodes are funny situations. This is all one-liners.
Yes.
Yes, which I'm excited about.
One person's blackmailing is another person's love story. And that's not even one of my favorites.
So the case is also getting bigger and stronger, and life looks good until, bum, 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 Audra Levine shows up, oh no, with some other lawyers from Rebecca's old firm. And so then Audra and Rebecca, they have a jet battle, a Jewish-American princess rap battle. With great lines such as, you lost your temper, oh cute, like you're going to lose this lawsuit. and then I really like the part where... Audra was saying, hey, you shouldn't have kept your mouth open for all these guys. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, slept with your boyfriend.
It's my favorite line, I think, in the song, because it's like, not that cute, awful lay. Not that cute and a quick, awful lay.
Oh, and I banged your head fund manager, Beyonce, back in college over winter holidays. Bathroom stalled at a matzo ball. And honestly, I got to say, not really hot at all. Finished quick, rotten lay.
Yes, love that line. Way to take that power back, Rebecca.
Heck yeah. And I love it. It was like immediate, too. Like, you're not going to slut shame me. Bam. Mm-hmm. Guess what I did? You're welcome. Maybe I taught him a thing or two. Yeah.
And it's not just that she did that. It's that she did that and she knows your boyfriend's bad at sex.
Yes. You can't even tell fake stories. She knows. She's been there. She's been to the land down under, and she did not enjoy the show. So Trent makes dinner again, massages her back, listens to about her day, gets to sleep at the foot of the bed this time. But remember,
like a dog,
he's really excited about it. Remember, still not weird because she wore a bathing suit. And so then Heather gets a job at home base. Kevin, a man after my own heart, he's like, two arms, no waiting.
Also a hugger.
But I ask. Come on, Kevin.
You gotta ask.
But still.
Also, he just gave a job to, like, the most underqualified person.
That's
true. In West Covina. She's quit every job she's had.
Which means she has a lot of base skills. Yeah. She can fill out that I-9 form like no other.
Plus, like, he did say, like, the thing he admired most is her honesty, because when asked why she wanted the job, one of her main reasons was so she and Greg could go bang in the back room.
We didn't say that. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So much honesty. Maybe she's a tourist, too.
Which Ooh. Kevin totally encourages. And then... And then Greg just, that's not hot anymore.
Yeah, exactly. We need to find out the birthdays of all these crazy ex-girlfriend people. Just saying, we need to chart their zodiacs.
Yes, we do. That's another chart I want to make.
That's another chart. Oh, and then we can celebrate their birthdays throughout the year. As we do these episodes. Wouldn't that be so great? We'll just be like, and we could do the real people as well, but I think we definitely need to do the characters.
The characters for sure.
Yeah.
Different cakes. Donuts or whatnot, depending on the personality.
Trent's, like, what would Trent's cake be? Now that we know his birthday.
I guess it would be, on the one hand, probably like a really plain cake. Plain yellow, I want to say plastic Costco cake.
Yeah.
Sheet cake. That's what I meant to say.
And I want the icing to be dripping a little bit because no one really is paying attention to it.
There's like too much of it because he just didn't know.
A giant sheet cake when there's only like five people. Nobody wants the leftovers because it's a slightly odd flavor.
It had like the strawberry jam or something.
Oh, the strawberry jam. Yeah, which makes it all like mushy inside, but not in a good way.
Happy birthday, Trent.
And only
we know you.
A black envelope as decoration.
Oh. Is there a card inside? This is important to know.
Probably. There is a card inside. Mm-hmm. We'll probably get there.
Oh. It's a letter with newspaper letters cut out and on.
Yes. Oh, that just says, I love Rebecca Bunch. Or no, I love Rebecca Bunch Matic.
Aw, it's almost cute.
It's almost just like Trent with his tucked in turtleneck. Kevin, they're at home base now because that's where Heather works, and Heather wants to watch the trial. Greg doesn't. And Kevin's like, that's Rebecca. She orders custom cheeseburger pizzas, and that's Josh. She drinks beer out of the bottle. And so Kevin's like totally excited. And by the way, I love cheese, and this cheeseburger pizza sounds delightful.
It does.
I'd like to order this. Just putting that out there. And especially it's custom. I wonder how she customizes it. These are the things that go through my head.
Does she put lettuce on it?
I don't know. Would you put lettuce on it? You'd have to put it on after it comes out of the oven because you put it on before, and it's a hot mess. Just like the thing with tomatoes, right? When you try to put tomatoes on it ahead of time.
Yeah, kind of imagine. It's got both like
I don't mind the cooked tomatoes, though.
Okay.
I can do cooked tomatoes. But Fair lettuce, enough. No.
But
you don't
want
to wilt and brown your
pizza,
lettuce.
You don't want to have cooked tomatoes on a cheeseburger pizza.
Okay. I get that.
Or maybe you do.
I
don't want to speak for
it
you.
All right.
Also, there's probably no lettuce on it. I think I'm giving her too much credit.
There should be lettuce. I think, you know.
Probably
crunch.
Not.
Rebecca likes to convince herself that her life is healthy. So she'd put the sprinkle of lettuce and be like, this is healthy pizza now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like nachos.
That's my theory.
Let's have that on top.
Just like nachos. Yeah, you put a little bit of lettuce on it, some tomatoes, and then you're like, these nachos are healthy. I put some guac on. Guacamole.
That's the good fat.
Yeah, exactly. It's the good fun. This will keep me full longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then Audra comes up, and Kevin's like, oh, I don't like the way she looks. She looks like she orders everything.
On the side.
I love it.
Which immediately made me think of, like, when Harry met Sally, because Sally always orders things on the side. And, but she's nice, though. She's not an Audra. She's a Sally. They're different.
Yeah, maybe Audra is a Sally deep down. Once her life gets turned around.
She just hasn't met her Harry to make things better. Instead, she met the Baddeley hedge fund guy.
Yeah, because there's like many scenes to that movie, right? There's a lot of phases
there are
for
a lot
Sally.
Of scenes. You're right. And she got to grow over like 12 years.
Audra's young. She can still grow.
She could still grow. But you know what? She has to stop worrying about money and she has to go look for a Harry. Harry doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Harry could just be a friend. You need someone who is the Harry in your life, though. It's a deep conversation.
It is. I like it.
Everybody find your Harry. Okay. And then Bert is diagnosed as we find out that Bert has been diagnosed schizophrenic for 16 years. So his testimony now holds doubt. And then Trent tries to give Rebecca these like hacked emails about the cover up. And Rebecca decides not to use them. One, because she'd probably have to stay with Trent forever. So he doesn't like let go of the cover up.
And oh, that's a good reason.
I don't think she thought of that reason, though.
I don't think she did either. I didn't think of it a little bit.
Like, she mentioned that one statement where she was like, oh, he won't tell, especially if I let him sleep in the bed. And so, like, the fact that she knows, like, oh, I'm going to have to let him sleep in the bed, like, it's not going to be for one night that he's not going
to
tell.
Yeah, she was essentially, like, agreeing to marriage.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Marriage and, like, stalker babies. Yeah. And nobody wants
She's not ready for it.
She's not ready. Who's ready for stalker babies? None of
no
us.
No one.
And then, too, because she's grown as a person.
just more like the beautiful people of this town.
Yeah, because, you know, she sees them, even though there's, yeah. Oh, and then this is where we go back to the bar. They're watching what's happened. And Greg's all like, no, why'd you do that? Why'd you say all these things? And Heather's like, oh, there's something here. And I don't like it. And then she sings.
She's such a good singer, too. We've got this clip as well.
Everyone in that cast, you're invited to my birthday party. I'm just saying, like, love you so much.
Yeah, this one, it's basically like, oh, God. Like, it's Heather, so she's the coolest. We've established this over and over again. And I actually pulled the whole song for this one.
Yes!
Because it's just fun. Let's just hear it.
And it's like a shorter song.
It is shorter, so we're not, like, listening to the entire episode.
Not that that would be a problem.
This one you can't do on YouTube, so
you
have to come here for it.
Yeah, you could do, like, Mystery Science Theater, right? Like, we'll just talk about it.
It would be fun.
Oh, my God. I know what's happening.
What are you saying?
I'm saying, don't settle for me.
What?
Come on, dude, don't settle for me. Trust me, I know guys, and that look in your eyes means you're in love.
Love? Who are you all of a sudden?
Shut up and listen to my wise reprise. We've had some fun together.
Hold on a second, Heather.
But I need, like, so much more. I'm way too badass to be someone you settle for.
Yeah, you are.
That's true.
What a great way to put it, too. Like, I'm not a second best kind of person. I'm badass. I am freaking Heather.
And I think it means so much coming from her, too, because she does seem so, like, unmotivated and
she does,
cool,
but she,
too cool for school. But she knows herself so well.
She does. And she sees situations so well.
Yeah.
Like, you remember, like, Greg's Christmas, right? Like, she just called that out like nothing.
She did.
Sorry, I'm, like, all, like, geeked out about this woman. She's, like, awesome.
She's awesome. Let's play career counselor for her.
Yes!
Because she has so much trouble with it herself.
Oh, you know who'd be great at that? Paula.
She would.
Two of them start a business.
That's actually the person who needs the Paula intervening mothering is Heather.
Aww. Heather's career should be career counselor.
Yes!
She's had all of them, at least entry
That's
level.
That's true. You know, Heather would also be a great life coach. Can you imagine you go into Heather and you're like, this is what's happening in my life. And she's like, let me follow you for a week. And then she does, and she's like, look, I already see that your life is a load of crap, and here's why. And then she'd fix it.
Ditch this person, quit this job, start this job.
La, la, la.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we figured out Heather, and we need Paula to work for the CIA. Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah.
All
right.
She'd do so good with so many security clearances.
Oh, she would. And we already know that her morals are bent just a little bit. So that really, you know, mm-hmm. helps with higher level offices, right?
Yeah.
One thing. all right. Oh, well, that seems like a great segue to talk more about this episode. So then Rebecca, she apologizes to the plaintiffs. One, probably because she's not used to losing, you know. Mm-hmm. But and so she, you know, she's like, I'm really sorry. And then she gets a slow clap, and it's started by the man who says on the stand that he hates his wife. Right?
Yes. Yep.
And then they sing the, you know, the whole Flooded with Justice song, and which I think is really fascinating because what they're doing in this Flooded with Justice song, one, they're like, slow clap, slow clap. Mm-hmm. But then beyond that, they're also like, we really hope we have flooded basements because we want to, like, be driven insane by dripping water and mm-hmm. have all our stuff ruined. But we'd have water and that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's
we want to be aware of the injustices around us.
Yeah, which I think is good. And they did say thank you for opening our eyes, which is great. And then there's this scene with Rebecca and Audra. And Rebecca sees Audra, and Audra says something like, I'm so happy. This is what happy looks like. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's like, oh my goodness, I remember that. That's what happened to me. That's what I felt. And so she has this moment of empathy and perspective taking. And she's like, you are angry and you are mean and you mm-hmm. are on the outside a horrible person. But it is because you are so sad inside and you don't know what happiness looks like enough to even know that you are unhappy. Poor Audra.
Poor Audra. Maybe. Because we get, like, flashbacks to them as kids throughout the episode.
Yeah.
And as they were both manipulated by their mothers. Yeah. But it seems like Audra was kind of into it. Like, she never...
Well, yeah, Audra never questioned it.
She never questioned it, never had any underlying sadness.
Yeah. That's a question that I have between them is maybe Audra, she doesn't have the same necessarily, like, psychological makeup to where mm-hmm. she yeah. needs what Rebecca needs to be a happy person.
Mm-hmm. So
they might just be two different types of people where Audra might legitimately be her own version of happy in whatever she's doing. She doesn't seem necessarily like elated or anything with herself, but she doesn't give away. There's no betrayal of like a, you don't see anything come through that would make you think, oh, she is really, really sad. You just see like a sad mm-hmm. existence, maybe relative to, Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
but even Rebecca's not that happy as a person. Like, she's still trying mm-hmm. to figure a lot out as well. It's
plus a lot of people see her existence and think of it as super sad. Her new existence, they see her, you know, her new friends, her new office, mm-hmm. and they think, oh, this isn't good.
Rebecca, you mean?
Yeah, and Rebecca, yeah,
like
yeah.
she settled for so much less than what success is considered, but really she just mm-hmm. adjusted herself for what she needed to kind of. Help to find herself some sort of stability or something. She's yep. kind of working towards
and that,
something else.
Play between the two, I think, is really interesting in that it just shows that other people don't know what make you happy. They don't yeah. know what's going on yeah. in your head. You don't know what other people have in terms of like their relationships to other people or to themselves. And this show is always playing on that.
Yes. But, which yeah. is very true. But yeah, I mean, I do like that Rebecca reflected enough that she was kind of like, I'm unhappy. Well, in New York, she was like, I'm mm-hmm. unhappy. And she was new to the whole reflection thing, it seems. And so that's why, like, when an ex-boyfriend came around, maybe she was more inclined than most to be like, oh, my goodness, I remember being happy in this moment. Yeah. You're where the happiness is. But I mean, like, she had something to also latch onto. And I wonder if Audra ever had anything to latch onto. Like, I wonder if she's ever, like, taken a moment to even just be like, am mm-hmm. I happy? Or did she just kind of go through existence?
Like
yeah.
Does.
Well, I think Rebecca's kind of mental instability also has, like, a side effect of her causing her mind to be open to mm-hmm. new things
yeah.
more than Audra, who would be kind of more a conformist person that would never take that journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Rebecca has always kind of rebelled against it too, right? Like, she went to the theater camp when her yeah. mom wanted her to go to the lawyer camp
or
whatever.
And that was her real experience with happiness. Like,
yes.
that was where she started experiencing joy, you know?
And, yes, and even college. She wanted to change her major to theater,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that yeah. was that's actually an episode ahead of time that I've actually seen. Oh, holy crap. But yeah. So,
and I had some notes too on that with Josh, because I have a lot of questions with Josh. Like, is he just so conformist and normal, yeah, like mentally stable, that he just never tries to process different experiences or just process different versions of happiness?
Yeah.
Because I do just kind of brush him off a lot of the times and expect, like, he doesn't have ulterior motives. He doesn't think beyond his experience level at the moment. But he went to summer theater camp, like, yeah, and then like wondering constantly, like, what was he doing in New York? Who was he? Yes. Why was he there? And then like he has moments, like I think it might have been the episode before, where like they're working on the case and he makes like the lamest joke, like she's ordering all these foods and he's like, we're gonna be so well rounded. Yeah. it's such a lame joke. And then later he says
bubbles, oh sorry, is that what you're gonna say?
No, which one?
Oh, the bubbles give me dumb burps.
Yeah. Yeah, another super lame thing to say. At some point he's like, huzzah, and you're like, what, why is he so nerdy and weird? Yeah. Like, you don't, I mean, you get little snips of that with him, and then I'm remembering, like, oh yeah, he went to theater camp. It's deep down in him. He just, yes, he has to let it out. No one will, like, let him be the weirdo he is.
Yes, you're right. Like, he has his own set of expectations. He's supposed to be the cool guy. He's supposed to, and we don't know, like, you know, what other sort of expectations he feels that are, like, supposed to be of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe he thought, oh, well, I'm supposed to find someone young and just stay with that person.
And we know so very little about his family, even, yeah, though we have met them. Well, we know they value intelligence. His dad them. Wanted him to work in radiology. What else do we know about his family? Like, it's big.
They have a beautiful home.
Yeah, they're stable. Mm-hmm. He doesn't come from any kind of like broken home. They're immigrants. He's a like, you know, what would it be? Is it first or second generation? He's a first generation,
mm-hmm,
like Filipino American. Like, mm-hmm, his parents moved from another country. So there's typically, I can't speak on it by personal experience, but I know that that tends to be at least an experience where your parents are very focused on you having some advantage that they didn't have where they came from, mm-hmm, typically. He seems to me like he would have had a very coddled childhood. Like, he definitely, yeah, seems like he was definitely a mama's, mm-hmm, boy or something, or held close and, oh, very, yeah, very like protected and taken care,
right,
of.
Right. He's got a lot of sisters too.
Yeah.
Does he have any brothers?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh.
He's got two or three sisters.
Coddled little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely has that.
And his family seems really
mama
close.
Kind of a personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like he's used to strong women.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good for him.
Good and, yeah, bad, because he kind of,
yeah, bad because then he just relies on them to lead him,
yeah,
around.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, it's not like he's into strong women because he wants them to be his equal. He just, yeah, doesn't want.
Yeah, he's like, I'll be the lesser one in this relationship. You could take it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like when we talk about like their situation with the landlord, like Valencia would normally be the one to complain. But she's, mm-hmm, not on the lease,
yeah,
so she's the leader there,
mm-hmm,
and it's not a relationship of equals.
Yeah, and even when Rebecca then says, "Well, why don't you complain?" Then he's like, "I don't like to."
Yeah, I'm not good,
yeah,
at it.
Yeah,
it's only hot water. I don't need it.
People can out argue me.
You guys, but we need hot water.
Smart.
It leads to taking drugs and dying.
can I be indulged and read like some quotes from this episode?
Yes.
Like, try to do it real quick.
Oh, should,
yeah,
I
run down
the best real
of
quick though?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because we just have one thing after this. Okay,
one last thing,
which is, well, two things. Daryl shouts to the world that he's bi, and,
oh, yeah,
Josh shouts at some guy who's upset. He's like, you know, shut up. He looks like Tom Selleck or something like that. And then Rebecca
he's out of your league.
Yes. Rebecca gives the hacked emails to a reporter named Paul Ramirez because he's like, no, we've uncovered something. This is great. And then, something super big is the Josh and Rebecca kiss. They have their makeout session.
Oh,
Paul,
yeah.
Paula and Greg,
what?
C.
How do we miss that?
Yeah, and then when the two part, Rebecca's face is like full of hope, and Josh has that, I think I just swallowed a poisonous sex.
His face,
yes,
is terrible right there.
And then at the very end,
Josh,
Trent tries to read Rebecca a letter that he wrote for her ages ago. And she slams the door.
Oh,
yeah, I actually wrote a stanza for it. Just
ooh. Let's do that first.
Okay, and then we'll do the quotes. Okay, all right. I just wrote one stanza because, you know, we have a show to go. But to Rebecca, Nora, Bunch, freshman year, the cafeteria at lunch. You were eating mac and cheese and you're such a genius. You made it with a sandwich with two pieces of bread. And instantly I saw my soulmate, so I brought a special cuisine art for making Trebek and Harvard baby food. I gave him my own ending because, you know, but yeah. So that's the stanza of what I think his would be.
I think it's perfect. And there's no dying people in the forest, so
there's no dying. Well,
he might have had a chance.
He might have had a chance. I feel like he just wants to cook for her a bunch and just, you know, be the like follow her around and everything that she mm-hmm. does.
Mm. But yeah, all right. Favorite lines from this mm-hmm. episode.
Okay,
I'm super excited for this.
Yeah, right. Same here.
And some of these will be repeats. Bunch Sanity.
Yeah.
White Josh. I didn't come out till I was 12. Trent, one person's blackmailing is another person's love story.
Beautiful line.
Rebecca at White Feather about Trent. He'll see me eat a piece of ham off the floor and move off the ground. And move
this
on.
Is one I've Which definitely one screen capped and has I've like reposted a billion times.
Yes,
I know guys like this.
Heather at home base. The moms look like hookers and the hookers look like moms. Let's see. After the Jap battle song, Rebecca goes, "I scared."
Oh yeah. She's like, "Guys, we got this. It'll be fine. We can totally win this case."
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared.
Let's see. Outside the courthouse, Rebecca about White Josh, just White Josh and his 8-pack.
Yeah. She has so much disdain for that fit body.
She's disgusted by it.
This has been an episode with a lot of like food comments, a lot of fitness comments.
Yes!
This, this pair. And I've got some thoughts on that, too. We may come back to.
Yes.
Heather, about Rebecca on TV. She looks hot in that legal outfit. I'd pound that gavel. Bert on the witness stand. I don't believe in underwear.
Free flying.
Kevin at home base. She looks like she orders everything on the side. Rebecca and Paula discussing Trent. Paula, he looks like a Kennedy, but a sober one. And Rebecca, he looks like two Kennedy cousins made it.
I love Trent.
Yes.
Is that an unpopular opinion? I think he's great. At least for TV.
He's great for TV. I would not like him to show up at my house. No. I would be a little weirded out by that.
Not a guy you need hanging around. But in the show, it's a very smart character to insert.
It just justifies it all, too. Because you're like, okay, so he just agreed with her. Why would someone agree with her in a situation like this and say, like, oh, I made it so that the photo looked like it was posted 5 years ago, but it really wasn't. Oh, I'm just so silly.
Because he's in love.
And if you're unclear, like whether the writers are, you know, on Rebecca's side, mm-hmm. like this character provides that perspective, like, oh no, we know Rebecca's like not right in this, that this is dysfunctional. Like, here's what it looks like out of a man.
Difference being, at least in the past, she had some kind of relationship with Josh, whereas with Trent and Rebecca, he was just a guy admiring her from across the room.
And it started freshman year of college, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I just imagine him, like, hiding under a table with his eyes looking up, just, like, watching her every day for 4 years.
See, I'm imagining he was, like, super involved in his life, but it's kind of like the White Josh thing where he, like, was fat and then he lost weight and got hot. So that's my, like,
you know what? I feel
pet
like
theory with Trent. Like, she's like, who are you? Oh, that guy.
See, I believe that, like, he could have been attractive all along because he holds himself like a man who's always been attractive.
You're right, he does.
But
he doesn't have Greg's self-loathing.
Exactly. But you know what? There's a certain, it's like, what do they say? There's like that bell curve, or there's that curve of like weird or crazy and pretty, like the crazy pretty curve. And he's way too far on the crazy to go with that pretty. Like, and he's a pretty man, so that says a lot. Like,
And going back to episode 12, there's a moment in the gym where,
Daryl. Yes.
Calls White Josh White Joshua.
Yeah. He's trying to put up a barrier in their relationship because it's already been discussed that White Josh is attracted to him. So the next time he sees him, he throws up this, "Hello, White Joshua," because he doesn't want to engage intimately with him anymore. We're He's afraid of it now because he still hasn't encountered his own feelings yet to know whether he likes another man, because up to that point, as far as he's concerned, he's always been interested in women.
So, they're making the water go one way.
Yeah, we forgot the water wants to go both ways.
Oh, and I guess my last one, at the apartment where everybody's gathered and Rebecca's trying to convince Josh to sign on the case, you know, Greg says, "You're too smart for this." And White Josh is in the back. Is he?
There's another one, too, where I think they're like, he's like, "I'm someone's like, it's not about you being not smart enough this time." I think it was Greg to him.
Yeah.
They like threw a bunch of jabs in at how smart he was.
Oh, yeah. It was Josh. You got to watch out for her or something. And he's like, "No, I can look after myself. I've got a lot of black."
Oh, yeah.
She's not trying to fight you. Can I say a line that really annoyed me? When Valencia's like, I only trust you as far as I can throw you. And that won't be far because you eat bagels after 8 p.m. I was like, will you stop with the body shaming? Like,
There's so much in this episode.
Yes. That was a creative way of saying you're fat instead of, from that character's perspective. Like, They do a great job at writing the characters' points of view very well, as destructive and harmful as they are. But that's why they're writing them, to put them out there so they can be analyzed.
The action of that scene, that's something I wanted to talk about too, is that Valencia has a chance at this money and she turns it down because she values her relationship with Josh more.
Well, and the other tenants don't want money, obviously.
Of course not.
Who wants money?
No.
They all want a relationship to be fine. No. Oh, that is really important.
That is
good.
True, yeah. That she's willing to turn down the money for this relationship.
And it ends up being, well, she didn't know at the time that it ended up being about 12 or 10 grand once they got everyone signed on and the settlement offer. But, like, that would have been like 10 grand for this couple that lives in like a crappy apartment.
And they probably haven't paid that much in rent up to that point. They're getting, you know, some kind of a return on that, some kind of profit on that.
It was super cool.
Yeah. But Rebecca's intentions, of course, got in the way, as is the
as
point
always,
of her,
of her entire existence, because she's fictional.
Spin on it, though, right? Like, she had not good intentions, but in the end, she came out looking like, smelling like roses.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it all turned out well.
So good for her.
Yeah.
That's probably why I've got a lot of empathy for Valencia. Is like, she gets these like certain things right, like, I'm going to turn down money for the chance to like save this relationship that matters to me.
But the relationship is a sinking ship.
Right. And that's true. And then she says like catty line about someone's weight.
She doesn't know it's a sinking ship yet.
She should. Like, it's been 15 years. That's like more than half that woman's life.
But that's probably why. She doesn't know anything else. Whereas like, I don't know what that's like at all, but
she needs to give herself another like 20 sun salutations or something and figure it out.
She needs to date around.
Yeah.
Well, she needs something to fall apart, maybe, so she can move on, so she can, you know, grow,
figure out her entire life.
Yeah. Yes. You're right. Like, when you're in a relationship for that long with someone, you don't really get to grow in the same way that you do when you're by yourself. Because she hasn't had any time to just think about her. She's always thinking about her and Joshy.
I've got plenty of friends in that situation, and I'm someone who's moved and dated, and it's just like, I don't know how to give you advice because you're just so different than me.
Yeah.
You're never going to meet my perspective even halfway when it comes to, like, you've been with the same guy 8 years right out of high school or 10 years right out of high school. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a different, like, existence. It's a different, like, truth that you're coming from in your world versus where.
Yeah. Well said. You've been with somebody before your brain is even fully formed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like, ooh,
your prefrontal cortex is still a forming.
Back even to the weight stuff that bothers me about it is this show gets a lot of praise for Paula's character and how they never make her say any lines about how she wishes she wasn't fat, or she wishes she was skinny, or and no one ever shames her weight.
But they do it for Rebecca. But they do it for
Rebecca all the time, and she's like not fat.
No,
and that's I think the bigger problem, at least like socially and ethically to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is like sure, okay, it's good that you didn't. You've got you know a bigger woman that you're not making fun of her weight, but then you've got someone who is on the smaller side. And then you're calling her fat every episode. How I know it's a joke, or I know it's because that's one of Rebecca's biggest insecurities, and that's playing into her character feeling so underconfident. But
yeah, and it's true to Valencia's character too, because
it's like a constant jab.
Yeah, Valencia would, you know, play dirty like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like it's Valencia, it's Greg, it's Audra, it's her mother. It's like there's so many people who give this to her. And I guess that's also true to real life. Like when you are a plus size person or even just a little bit, you get to hear it from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But still, it's just very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, and if it was really like pro body as a show, I don't feel like none of that would be in there.
Yeah, or you'd sprinkle very little,
or something about it would be more positive.
Yeah,
I imagine like 14-year-old me watching that and just being like devastated. Like,
yeah,
because I mean, even to this day, I have body issues. I'm not like immune to it. Like watching someone who's, you know, pretty normal looking get like criticized for eating a bagel after 8, and then the next scene is getting all this like love and attention from this guy who's making her dinner. Like, it's so confusing and weird.
Yeah.
But also maybe there's more to it. I don't know, because the show is constantly surprising me with that. Yeah. So maybe they're super aware of it and it's going to come back some way. But or maybe it's just because it's you need it. Maybe you do need that out there just to like be critical of it.
Yeah,
to like, communicate some truth of how people are in the world, certain people. I don't know.
It's a value not to talk down to audiences and be like, okay, well, we have to talk down and like either eliminate it or like make it one-dimensional. Maybe having all those sides to it is okay. It does. Maybe other people are thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least when her mother does it, it's kind of called out, like, you know, that the show is not on her mom's side. Like, her mom's just a kind of a heinous monster.
Yeah. And it's like a thing we're used to seeing in TV and so forth. But when it's like I said, when it's from like Valencia and then you turn around with Trent and he's like cooking her food, you're like, this is weird. Life is weird. What is existence? It asks all the deep, dark questions.
Oh, yeah. Has anyone had a stalker boyfriend or a stalkery type guy?
Not like that.
Well, no, I don't think.
I had an experience.
Or a stalkery significant other person of any gender.
I've had people follow me from, like, work and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, like, not a fun story at all. It's just, like, actually, it's people, too, that I think, at least in the one case, it was someone who, when I hosted trivia, would come to a lot of my trivia shows and so forth. And I don't think he was all there mentally. So it's hard to be, like, mad about it. And this also comes, like, to the Rebecca thing, too, where, like, at some point Josh even makes an offhand comment, like, oh, she's got, you know, her issues. We have to be a little forgiving. Like, she's acting like a crazy stalker. But, yeah, it's not a fun thing, like, to think, like, oh, well, this guy's not totally there and I've told him multiple times what's an inappropriate way to interact with me, what's an inappropriate way to interact with me, and ended up ending on him, like, waiting for me outside my car and like, 10 o'clock at night, being like, oh, we should get a drink. I'm like, that's, again, inappropriate. Like, how many times do I have to tell you this is inappropriate before I can't, like, be nice anymore?
Yeah.
It's not fun. Real life isn't as funny as
Real
Trent.
Life is not as funny as Trent.
Yeah, they do a good job at taking situations that would be very ominous and sad and depicting them in a comedic way on the show. If you watch episodes enough, they start to turn, some of the situations start to turn very sad when you start to see, you analyze through the comedy and you're like, oh wow, that's really sad. Like, what's going on here is a very hard thing to watch people go through. Especially when you can understand certain things from some of their perspectives, or you know it's their emotional conditions that are like their weaknesses.
Yeah, and it's, oh god, it's just trying to navigate all that constantly. drinking water over there using your...
Oh, yeah. I tapping. Kind of spilled beverage all over me. And, like, this it was is what the happens cutest when I dress thing, though. Up. And I have, like, a little shoulder shrug. I'm like, well, you'll be my napkin to try to fix my face.
I'll eat ham off the floor, and then he'll be over this.
Yes. Actually, I had written, like, previous versions before I forgot that she had... That they said that she'd eaten macaroni and cheese the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And in my first version of the stanza for Trent, it was something about eating ham off the floor and realizing that you're my type of crazy. So there's that too.
Oh god! And even though they both have like that stalkery thing, it's kind of, at least with like the way he acts and like is like willing to cook dinner for her and draw her a bath. Like, I think the main problem between those two is like she's just not ready to settle down into that.
Well and I think you can only. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No,
I think you can only have one crazy in a relationship. You get too crazy and you go off the deep end. You got to have one sane, one crazy. Like.
You see them at a certain point, though, and they sit down and they start to open up to each other. They're having a meal, and you feel like, oh, wow, they're actually, like, I don't know, finding some common ground in the fact that they both have, like, maybe mental makeups in a way.
Mm-hmm. The way they laugh about, well, they laugh about Cornell and it being a community college. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, why even go to school? Yeah.
I'm going to join the Navy. Wow. Yeah, you get a certain uneasiness when you see them and you're like, oh, no, there's a little bit of a bond going on there now. They're getting a little comfortable because, I mean, they're both essentially lonely people, I guess. And, and I think one of the biggest commentaries of the whole show is, like, all of these people are very undeveloped in their lives. And that seems to be the biggest, like, conflict in their relationships. Is none of them are fully, like, emotionally developed. They're all still trying to find some stability with themselves. They're not totally I don't know, grown up or stable to the point where anything that they engage in can be totally healthy.
And they don't know where to get those growing up stages, and they always put it on the wrong people, or people who aren't ready for them, or people who are just unwilling to be there for them, or
unable.
Yeah. Or
that's all those.
Again, what is existence, guys?
Because we all do that, right? Like you take these steps, and you're like, man, I need this out of a person, and so you try to like put it on anyone.
Yeah. You try to open it up.
Like, oh, you were the wrong one. You're not the one I should be sharing. Okay, then.
And it's all trial and error, but you try not to change your entire life around that before.
True story.
Try not to move away. But that, again, or I don't know if I've ever said it, but like that move is a good move for her.
It is a good move.
And she touches on it in her speech, which is a little classist and weird, where she's like, I'm like these good people now. I've got a good honest heart. I'm not a New York elitist. But aside from that, it's, you know. It's a good point of view.
And I think, you know, another great thing about her moving to California is she did get away from a lot of toxic relationships. She got away from Audra. She got away from her mother. So while she might not have done it in the first instant for the right reasons, I think deep down inside she was like, I need to get away from New York. Like, this is not good for me.
She was breaking down completely. And you need to make some kind of an adjustment or change when that's happening. And, you know, it may have been an impulsive thing that she did, but obviously her psychological condition was telling her, you need to do something.
Yeah.
And that's usually when the biggest changes happen, is like when you've reached the absolute limits of yourself. And like the worst thing has happened, or you've done the worst thing, or you're just, you can't take it anymore. And that's when the changes do actually happen in real life, more so than in TV. Usually in TV, it's a lot of stuff where like this event happens and it's not that dramatic, and then all this stuff happens because of it. Like real life, you actually have to get to that breaking point. But I am looking for the next two episodes.
Oh, I got to
review. Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so we have episode 14, Josh is going to Hawaii. And episode 15, Josh has no idea where I am.
Uh-oh, ominous.
Ominous.
It sounds like something bad's about to happen again to Rebecca.
No. Is she hiding in the walls?
Is she a ghost?
Yeah. Guys, I got really into body paint. I'm just...
I'm camouflage now. I'm still stalking him, but he can't see me now.
He can't see me. I have special sunglasses for my eyes.
That's really all it is. That's all it takes is sunglasses.
That's right. Well, there was a commercial a while back, too, that like had these like really attractive women like walking past these two guys on a bench. Mm-hmm. And they had sunglasses and they weren't they weren't following the women with their eyes. And then after a bunch of them leave, they take the sunglasses off and they're like, oh God, my eyes hurt so bad. Because they're like trying not to move their head, but they're moving the eyes. So it really is. It's true. All you need are the sunglasses.
It's true.
Long story about a thing. But it happened.
That's so good.
On TV.
So it must be real.
It must be real. It seems like it could be.
I love it. Well, we're going to come back in a week and we'll discuss those. Maybe a little bit of a switch up with our schedule. I recently moved, so I've had to change my schedule.
Yay for moving.
Yay for moving. Yay for changing your life, guys.
Yay. You didn't have to go to California.
No, I only went an hour away. So, yeah. You know, the difference between West Covina and L.A. I basically moved to West Covina, guys.
Aw. You kind of did.
You're only 2 hours from the beach? Four hours in traffic?
Pretty much, yeah. 4 hours from traffic. Hour away.
I know of a beach that's 4 hours from here.
But there's no guy. I did do it for work, I promise.
Yay!
I'm not going to come back in a week with like more denial and be like, so guys.
I just want to read this letter I wrote for him years ago.
It's been a while.
And maybe, if you do, we support you.
I've been sending him links to this podcast every week, and he just doesn't get it.
Man, he's just so dense. Aww. He's like the type of guy who's going to like take a rock that's one of a three-part rock series and throw it through a window.
He might be.
It's another warning sign.
Yeah, if you're dumb enough to use decorations for breaking and entering.
Yes, don't do it. In the house you're going to break and enter into.
Yes.
But it fixed that relationship.
It did fix
for
a relationship.
For a hot second. Somewhat. I don't think it's a long-term fix. It's a shoddy Band-Aid.
I don't know.
They're going to have to go on a crime spree together. And then
they are.
They'll have to constantly commit crimes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if Paula joins the CIA, I think they'll be okay.
Yes. She'll always have that spark. All right. Well, thanks again for listening to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast. If you haven't listened, or if you don't follow us already on Twitter, it's the handle Crazy Ex Pod. Same with Facebook. And let's recap our voices. Just one more time. I'm Moosh, and we've also got
Angela,
Shannon,
Jim,
and some of us, I don't know who yet, will be back when we record in a week and a half from now. So see you then.
Love you.